The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. So thank you for that lovely sitting together. It was nice to imagine you all sitting with me. And good evening, or whatever time of day it might be, whether you're listening as a recording or live. So tonight I'd like to talk a little bit about this idea of stick-to-itedness. I'm not quite sure if that's a word, or if it were a word, how it would be pronounced, but something about persistence or resolve. This certain type of commitment or determination that can be the link between our intentions or our aspirations and our actions. We might have some wishes, we might have some desires, we might have some ideas, some intentions on what we'd like to do with our meditation practice, our spiritual practice, our life. And yet sometimes there might be a gap between what our inspiration or intentions are and our actions. And that gap can be some of this resolve or determination, or there's a number of different ways that we can look at it or feel our way into it. You're welcome to choose a word that feels the friendliest for you, because that's something I'd like to emphasize, is that so often we have this idea that persistence or perseverance feels really gloom or heavy-handed or certainly uncomfortable in some kind of way. And maybe it is. Maybe there's a little bit of discomfort in the fact or the recognition that maybe complacency is to have no application. And is that just comfort? But I think if we were to really examine and to look at complacency, we would see that, in fact, it doesn't have an open, spacious, onward-leading quality. So what I'm talking, would like to point to, talk about is sometimes translated as resolve, but it's not just this sheer doggedness, you know, just hanging on. It's it can be distinguished from like having this really tight attachment or obsession or clinging. And that could be one end of the spectrum. Maybe the other end of the spectrum is complacency or apathy. I'm talking about not either end of this spectrum, but this wide range in the middle in which we might find ourselves. And in order to use this tool, this power, this strength, in a way that's helpful and supportive for our practice and for our lives, it requires some feedback for us to learn, like, okay, this is what complacency feels like. This is what apathy feels like. This is what holding on for dear life, white-knuckling it, feels like. So to get some feedback, like, okay, this doesn't feel sustainable. Is there a way that we can back off from one end of the spectrum, or maybe add a little bit more energy to the other end of the spectrum? So for us to be paying attention and doing some experimentation, I like this word play, to kind of play around with what happens if I lean into it a little bit more, so to speak. And it also requires that we have some interest, that we care about this, right? You're not going to bother with this investigation or this inquiry into how to have this mixture of ease as well as some determination, unless you care about it. So there needs to be some interest, but it also absolutely requires wisdom. And in fact, part of this wisdom is this recognition that so much of our practice, whether it's a meditation practice specifically, mindfulness practice specifically, or just a greater spiritual practice working towards or developing, cultivating greater freedom, ease, peace, requires wisdom. And part of that wisdom is recognizing that some of this practice is, we could say, maybe just kind of like manual labor in some kind of way. It's not glamorous, it's not glitzy. It's when we're doing mindfulness of the sensations of breathing, when the mind wanders, we just very simply bring it back again and again and again and again, right? This is so much what meditation practice is like. So part of the wisdom is just recognizing that this is part of practice. Is maybe it's feels boring or uninspiring, but there's, I think, for those of us who have kind of hung in there for some kind of way of notice, that there is some real value. It can be a tremendous support for us. Just doing what needs to be done, returning to the breath. So, of course, what is there to be resolved on? In the guided meditation, and in that example I just gave, was the idea to be resolved to be with the object of meditation, sensations of breathing. But, of course, there are, you know, countless things that we can be resolved on. But it's worthwhile applying our wisdom here as well, in discerning, discovering, what makes sense for us to be resolved on? What is a goal, something that we want to make a commitment towards, or what's something that we have an intention and aspiration and that some resolve or some determination can really support? Maybe it would be helpful to imagine, what would you like 5 years from now, if you were to look back and say that you were really happy that you started and you had a little bit of a commitment there. So there are some ways in which there are some ways that we can check out or test, or some ideas or attitudes or actions that we might want to make a commitment towards. And again, this involves some investigation and exploration, but also we can do some thought experiments. And that is to ask ourselves this, whatever it is that we want to be resolved on, is it wholesome? We can start there. Is it skillful? And then we could go to, well, what does it mean to be wholesome? Or what does it mean to be skillful? Could say that wholesome is things that are not driven by greed, not driven by hatred, and not driven by delusion. Chances are that most of our actions, until we're completely awakened, of course, have some mixture of greed, hatred, and or delusion. But when you consider and feel your way into these things, whatever you might want to make a commitment or determination to, is it wholesome? And one way to help answer that question is to also ask, would it be criticized by the wise? That is this something that you would be ashamed of or want to hold secret or feel like it wouldn't be good if anybody else knew about it? Then that can be a clue that maybe there's something there for us to look at. Maybe we're just shy, or maybe we have a little embarrassment of how dearly we hold these things. So that's one thing. But is this something that if others were to find out, that they would criticize it? And then criticized by the wise, of course, that begs the question, well, who is the wise? One answer is people who don't have a lot of greed, hatred, and or delusion. And we can talk about that, but often we have a sense of people who have some wisdom. They have a sense of equanimity, some balance. They have a sense of warm-heartedness and perhaps have given you good advice in the past. So is it wholesome? Would it be criticized by the wise? Something else to consider when choosing what to be resolved on is, does it cause harm? Does it lead to suffering for yourself or for others? Is it something that by your having this resolved, is it really painful? Or maybe it's just a little bit uncomfortable, which maybe is just a sign of being stretched and stretched in your capacities or being challenged. That's okay. Or does it introduce a tremendous amount of suffering because you have this fear of what would happen if it didn't arise? Or what would happen if you're eschewing everything else in order to put everything towards this one thing they have a resolve on? It has more of an obsessive or an addictive quality, that other things in your life are not getting taken care of because you have this determination for this other things. Your relationships are suffering, or your work is suffering, or something like this. And with a recognition that whatever you have a resolve to do, if it's to be related to a spiritual practice, certainly to Buddhist spiritual practice, it should be connected to being freer. It should be connected to finding peace or greater peace, greater understanding. So I offer these as some things to, when you are considering, if you're going to be resolved, what to be resolved on. Things that are wholesome and supportive. And maybe I'll add onward leading, that it doesn't feel like a trap to be resolved on this, but instead you can see how it creates the foundation for something greater, something of more depth or meaning, or creates the conditions for even more and more, as opposed to cutting off the possibilities or all possibilities of good things arising. So the Buddha, of course, talked about resolve. For those of you who are familiar with this, it's one of the paramis. I'm not going to talk about what the paramis are. I'm just mentioning it in case you're familiar. I'll say one little bit about it. These are qualities to cultivate, most often cultivated in our daily life as opposed to specifically on the cushion. And then there's a related quality also. It's called diligence and vigilance. I guess these are different translation choices. But they also have this flavor of stick-to-itiveness. And there's a verse in the Dhammapada, which I appreciate. I've modified it just a little bit here. But it goes like this. It says, unwise people give themselves over to negligence. The wise protect vigilance as the greatest treasure. What would it be like to consider determination, resolve as a treasure, something to be valued and protected, something that can really be a support? That in whatever endeavor we might endeavor to do. So having resolve, in one way that it might be a treasure, is having resolve, this for example, to resolve to meditate, and then we come to the cushion or we're practicing in daily life, even though there might be so many other things we'd rather be doing or taking our attention or making it difficult, getting in the way, distracting us, whatever it might be. So having resolved to meditate kind of supports our just being with the, maybe there's some disorderliness and maybe a sense of chaos in the sense of a recognition that we're not in control. But if we have set the resolve to meditate and we do are able in some way to find our way to the meditation cushion and to meditate in a way that's without conceit, that is, without a strong sense of me, look at me, I'm the mighty meditator, or without a strong sense of irritation, grumbling, kicking and screaming, okay, I'm going to meditate, I don't want to. There, of course, these aren't black and white. Maybe there's just quiet rumblings a little. Wow, I really don't want to do this now, but okay, I'm going to do it. Or maybe there's a little bit of, you know, this is, I'm kind of proud of myself that I've meditated all these, so many days in a row. But if we can do this without being on the end of the spectrum of a tremendous amount of conceit, look at me, I'm the greatest, as well as it just being all about me, 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 as well as without a lot of irritation or anger, doing it angrily, this supports freedom in all areas of our lives. Just resolving to do something wholesome without a way that solidifies or shrinks or reifies a strong sense of self, and a way that doesn't cultivate irritation, aversion, but instead in a easeful, open-hearted way. That creates the conditions for a tremendous amount of freedom in our lives, not only in our practice, our meditation practice, but to come back to those things that are difficult or to come back to those things that are challenging or simply just to come back to those things that don't match our preferences. Our lives can really unfold in a different way if we're able to do this. So having resolve supports our practice in that way, helps us to have this movement towards freedom. But it also can support us by learning to have compassion. Compassion for ourselves. Chances are we'll have opportunities to practice compassion for ourselves when we don't have that stick-to-itiveness that we were hoping that we would, or when we don't, the determination isn't accessible to us. Or compassion for others when we recognize that, yes, just like us, other people have difficulties maybe keeping some of their commitments or some of the things that they say that they're going to do. I'm not saying that you can write a blank check for everybody, but or even for yourself for everything, but practicing with resolve, exploring, experimenting with it, also creates the conditions for us to have compassion for ourselves and to recognize that the difficulty, if it was easy, right, it wouldn't require resolve or determination. But the recognition that part of the human experience is having these difficulties. So what are some of the supports? What are some things that can help us and support us with this, with resolve? Of course, is to have resolves for things that are meaningful for you. Things that you depend, that are is worth spending your energy on. That is worth spending your resources, your time with. So to spend some time, like what is important? what is worthwhile to apply yourself towards. And part of the support for this can be to think back on a time in your life when you did have a strong determination, if there was a time, and to see if you can bring to mind, how did that feel? What was that experience of, with a certain amount of ease, maybe as much as was available to you at that time? How satisfying was that to have that sense of resolve, and how meaningful was it for you? And to reflect on that can be enormously helpful when our determination is flagging or sagging, sogging. Another support would be gain some clarity on, just for yourself, would it be helpful to have some accountability with others? Not everybody responds to having some external accountability. For some people, just setting a resolve for themselves is sufficient. But if it would be helpful, is there a way in which you can incorporate some accountability, external accountability, to support you? We don't have to do this all by ourselves, certainly not. So some understanding of ourselves about what's helpful with regard to accountability. And maybe to engage with this, the activity of setting a resolve or applying some determination, of adopting an attitude of, well, why not? You know, like, I'm going to give it a try, or let's see how this works or how this goes, as opposed to having a kind of like a compulsive quality to it. You know, I have to jump onto this and grab onto it really tightly. Or rather than having a rebellious attitude, like, you can't make me. Instead, maybe like somewhere that's like, well, just why not? This maybe a little bit of playfulness or experimentation or exploration. And then one more thing I'd like to talk about that might be a support for resolve that often we don't talk about in the Vipassana scene so much, or in the insight meditation tradition or practices, and that is to introduce some heart qualities to this idea of resolve or determination. And to engage the heart. You know, one is to, of course, choose something that's really meaningful. That means kind of meaningful, means heartfelt. But what would it mean to introduce the idea of devotion? This heartfelt connection, this heartfelt expression of the heart that has a type of commitment, that has a determination. I know that this isn't devotion, as I said, isn't something necessarily that comes to top of mind when we think about commitment. Maybe when we think about like marriage commitments, there can be a certain sense of devotion there, and maybe other types of vows. But is there a way to bring the heart qualities, so that, I'll just say that devotional practices, we can think of them as taking place in a framework or in a context of just these general practices that are open the heart and allow us to connect. There's a number of ways to think about devotion. Sometimes ritual is something that comes to mind. And I'm reminded of this time. You know, I live here in Redwood City, and some of you may know that the motto or the slogan for the city here is something like "Weather's best by government test." The weather here is really nice, And I've discovered that I've, quite frankly, I've turned into a weather pansy. That was like the range of weather which I'm comfortable has gotten smaller and smaller, right, the longer I've lived here. And I was doing some long meditation practice in New England in the winter. The weather is different in New England in the winter than it is in Redwood City, of course, right? And I decided that I wanted to do some walking meditation outside, but it was so cold. And I had kind of like this difficulties just going outside until I had this idea, what if I make it a ritual to put on all the warm clothing that's required to go from the meditation hall, where it's, you know, comfortable temperature, to outside. To change my socks and put on some boots. I had like a fleece skirt that I would put on over my pants. You know, put on a couple jackets and a scarf and a hat and gloves. But I turned it into a ritual that I would put it on in a very particular order and with some heartfelt loving kindness. Like, okay, I'm taking care of myself and my practice with this. Had this kind of ritual of just ordinary mundane things, but really made it come alive and really helped my determination, my commitment to practice in a way that, dare I say, just felt so much richer, more rich and rewarding, rather than just putting clothes on, going outside. And then, of course, there was the ritual coming back in, too. So maybe there's a way in which devotion can show up in something like a ritual, or maybe it's just a connection to the heart that is a movement away from I have to fix something or figure it out or solve the problem, but it's a way in which we connect to something that's really meaningful for us. Maybe it's a way we connect to ourselves. So I use this word devotion, but it doesn't have to be sentimental or wishy-washy. It doesn't have to be this idea like, okay, well, those are practices just for at the very beginning of your practice. It's not the real practice, that the more mature way of doing meditation or concentration or whatever it might be. Instead, why not? Why not engage our heart? Why not bring the fullness of our lives, the fullness of our experience, the fullness of our humanness to what's important to us, what's meaningful, to help support us, help support our resolve, our determination, so that we can reach our inspiration, our intentions and our aspirations. So in this way, we might use this devotion as a support for resolve, for determination, and an invitation to explore how are they the same. Maybe we don't have to make such a strong distinction between them, but instead we can use our wisdom, use our heart, and use all of ourselves to support not only our practice, but to support others, so we can show up in the world in the way that brings all aspects, a wholeness, a fullness of ourselves to help support us and what's the most important. In this way, our practice, the way we show up in the world, can perhaps be an exemplar for others, gain confidence in ourselves, and help us make a difference in a way that makes sense for us. Maybe it's just a really small difference, but to make a difference. So may all beings benefit from your practice, from our practicing together. May all beings everywhere, without exception, be free from suffering. Thank you.